Hello, I'm Darrell Country, your host for leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Well, today I have a very, very special guest. She is an author, she's a poet, she's a playwright, and she's also my niece, Miss Shadia Nelson. Shadia, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm very excited to have you on a program because I've watched your journey your entire life. And I've had the opportunity of reading some of the stuff that you've allowed me to read when you were in grade school and in high school. And I'm happy to see that it has culminated into these particular books. So before we jump in, share with our audience. I know you very well, but share with them a little bit about you and your background, your education, et cetera. And ultimately, how did you come up to be a writer?
Wow. Well, thank you so much for having me. As a writer, I do like to include my middle name in my introduction and all of the work that I have published as Shadia Asiya Nelson. Shadia is an Egyptian name that celebrates those who sing. And so I'm singing through my poetry, through dance, through my plays. And so a little bit about me, I'm a poet. I started writing poetry since the third grade. My mom held on to it, bless her. And she had it, so I have it all framed on my wall. Matter of fact, I need to include it in one of my books so you can see where the journey started. I fell in love with poetry when we had an opportunity to have like an elective class in elementary school. And Shel Silverstein invited me into his world of poetry. Could be fun, it could be funny and silly. And I was like, ooh, okay, this is what poetry's like. Let me try this out. And I've fallen in love with poetry ever since, and I've been writing. And so I'm so excited to share that journey and what that looks like through the healing love stories, as you'll get to read through all of my poetry. I do have a Bachelor of Arts degree in communications with a concentration in theater from Hawaii Pacific University. I'm an alum for all those from Hawaii. Aloha. The island life really is paradise. So definitely a lot of inspiration and stories of healing is represented in my poetry, as you'll get a chance to see. So I was born in DC and raised in San Diego, California. And my new home has been in Miami, Florida for the past 19 years. So I'm happy to share my books. I started publishing these books, well, actually four of the books that you see here, actually in 2019. And then I decided to re-release and then add two more books, you know, because I had to add more content. I got so inspired through the pandemic to tell more stories of why it's so important to honor our history and keeping it in context of where we are in this present day.
Wow. And so, is there like a particular common theme that you focus on, or are there several themes that you focus on in your books?
Great question. Yes. These are my healing love stories. Each book represents a different chapter in my life. So the moments of healing, the shirt that I'm wearing, one of the covers of my poetry, was inspired by a lot of healing with family relationships. So that was a loving, healing story. Most of the theme you'll see in that one is with my father. That was a long story of that took a lot of process of healing after I lost him. We didn't have the closest relationship when I was younger. I looked up to him like he was like the best person, you know, and he gave the best hugs. And I remember him telling me that the hugs that he gave me would, these are the kinds of hugs that you would expect from an amazing partner later in life, because I was little, because like, no, that's like 10, 20 years from now. Well, this is what it should feel like. And I'm like, okay. And so I held on to that. So anyone I let close to me is able to give me a hug just like that. And so when I get a real hug that embraces all of who I am and I feel safe and nurtured, that's what I look for, an amazing partner. So I included photos when I was young with him and when I was in high school, some of my favorite photos. So I added an extra personal touch as a dedication to him for moments of healing. In My Feelings is more of an exploration of love stories, from, you know, high school crushes to crazy relationships in college, where I felt the need to focus on self-love more, instead of looking for her outside. I'm like, leave these knuckleheads alone. Focus on me, and stop attracting the crazy. So that's where In My Feelings In is primarily about. And love letters, a little bit of high school, but it was more college and as an adult. And it also is a tribute to pre-motherhood. I'm a mother of a 16-year-old. I have a teenager who definitely teaches me something every day. That's definitely a mirror reflection of where I get to learn. And love letters are these letters that I'm sharing, oh, how much I love my daughter, how much I fall in love with myself again, which is a process. It's like a rite of passage. You know, it was a rite of passage to become a mom. What does that look like after becoming a mom during postpartum? Some of those challenges and making that transition to what it means to be a mother. And finding the love for myself again. I felt like this is the point in my life where I really wanted to focus on celebrating me and celebrating why it's so important to be recognized and recognizing the healing love stories that maybe somebody else can learn from.
What lessons can someone learn? Because oftentimes we lack the love for ourselves. What are some of the lessons learned that you would like to share about understanding yourself and loving yourself?
Yeah, just there's a part of the poem where the poem that I have entitled, I Fell in Love with Me Again. And at the end, I go through this process of acknowledging the hurt and the challenges, and my ownership in any of the grief of the life that I had before becoming a mom. That's a grief, or the grief where I felt like I had to stop nursing my baby for after 26 months. And I felt like, well, maybe they don't need me anymore. And so I had to find another way where I still felt needed and supported and nurtured her through a loving, compassionate way through that transition. Or the grief of a miscarriage, the emotional and physical pain. What does that look like? What does postpartum depression look like? And what does that look like when it's supported? When I can look at myself and be like, you know, my body has changed and this is where I am right now. And just working on myself piece by piece by piece to find my inner peace and knowing it's okay to not be okay and to acknowledge and be open to those who want to be there, even if you don't say anything and you're just there to listen. That listening is powerful. So powerful. So I would say the lesson is just taking that time to be gentle with yourself with that process. And it's not a overnight, it's not a 3-day, it's little by little. It's like a great book that I wrote, like Atomic Habits. You just work on yourself little by little each day.
That is such great advice, because we live in this age of instant gratification. You know, if you do this in 30 days, you're going to change whatever. But, you know, creating new good habits for yourself, it does take time. And so when you think about the young ladies that you talk to, groups of all ages, I'm sure.
Yes.
What is the group that you like to talk to the most, and why? The age group.
Mm-hmm. Well, great question. For the poetry, it's more geared to readers who are 16 and older. I would say it was a great readership age. As I work with a community-based organization, a lot of young people, they carry a lot. So I think this could be a great tool for them to also think about how I can self-express and use it as a great source of therapy to support where they're at in their healing process. Like She Kept Her Bra On, the play series. It's a 3-part play series.
No, I was waiting to get to that one because, you know, when you wrote that some years ago, I'm like, okay, I'm her uncle. How do I ask her about this? How do you? She kept.
Yes. Yes, there is a story. So the story is behind the title. When you think of a good bra provides guidance, direction, support, and some lift. So when you find a good bra, like a good friend, you hold on to them. So these are the chronicles of a teenage love affair.
All right. Now, yes. have you already produced this into a play?
Yes, I had the opportunity. So I work with an amazing community-based organization, Urgent Inc., where I co-wrote the play series. I couldn't have written this series by myself without the young person's perspective and their lens on what it means to be dating and figuring things out in your self-discovery and loving yourself and acceptance. What does all that mean? And then while now I have these hormones, I'm thinking about people differently. How do I manage all this? Or who do I go to talk about all of this? And so the title became because I took the girls to a field trip for a bra fitting. One girl came wearing 3 bras, walked out wearing one, walking out with her self-confidence and loving the skin that she's in. Hence, she kept her bra on. So we empower the young people to keep the bra on and how to be a good bra to their friends as well. Wow. So this is a powerful play series that promotes self-acceptance, empowerment, and how to make healthy choices and healthy relationships.
Have you considered to take it on the road?
Oh, yes, we did. I did take it on tour. All of the plays were produced. I directed all of them, even had a couple of cameos in some of them as well. We did take it on tour to, there was a couple of conferences that we had in across Miami-Dade County, public schools, universities. And so the play we use as a tool, as a teaching tool, to engage young people in critical dialogue about these characters and the choices that they're making in the plays as it relates to stalking, as it relates to thoughts about suicide and depression. We layer those issues as well as domestic violence. And what are the warning signs for unhealthy relationship and what does a healthy relationship look like? So all of this is explored. So it's not just a play series, but it's a series that provides an opportunity and then a tool to work with young people. And then they can continue having these conversations that's transferred into their own relationships to make better and healthier decisions.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Ms. Shadia Asiya Nelson.
Asiya.
I'm her uncle and I've always known her name, but I've never used it. She is a author, a poet, and a playwright, and she has 5 books that are now up on a special promotion: Journey of Thought, Love Letters, Moments of Healing, In My Feelings, and She Kept Her Bra On, The Chronicles of a Teenage Love Affair. Let's talk about the promotion that you're having. You've been putting it up on social media. How does one participate in your promotion?
Yes, so follow me on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on X. I'm on Facebook. And I'm on YouTube, so you can follow all of my channels. So you can go ahead and like and tag your friends to the post where you look for a book giveaway. I'm giving away 2 books. 2 books are free. All you have to do is like the post and share it, tag your friends. And the more people that you tag in the post, in the comments, the more entries. And so it ends November 29th. And then the winners will be announced and contacted on November 30th.
Wow. Okay.
And you can do whatever books you want.
So for our podcast audience, you're getting it first. Unfortunately, this interview won't broadcast until December. So for those who hear about this in December, sorry, but...
You know, actually, for those who are listening, all you have to do is mention this podcast, and then you'll definitely be able to enter
Ah, there you go.
Just for those listening in.
So, you know, thinking about this, your play, The Chronicles of a Teenage Love Affair, She Kept Her Bra On. I mean, you're hitting so many different important messages for our female audience, but also the education for our male audience. Have you found that the young men who attend, they get to learn about proper behavior and etiquette, being a gentleman?
Most definitely. There's an interesting, so the first play, it's a split scene of a gender-specific programming after school. So what does that conversation look like with just girls? And what does that conversation look like with just boys? And when you have a positive mentor coaching you through these conversations and the kinds of questions that they're having on both sides and the assumptions that each gender has about the other, that the other one's just supposed to know what to do, why some people need more reassurance. So there is an interesting polarity of thought, thinking that, okay, so if we're not thinking the same, then what are the expectations? So how do I know to back up? How do I know to not put my arm around or without getting smacked? right? What are the cues? And so I think it's a great opportunity to learn. It's okay, you can ask, is it okay, can I kiss you? And it's actually really endearing, instead of assuming or being forceful. Or if you want to, is it okay if I sit this close to you? And what does it mean if sometimes the cues get confused, right? So if someone is responding with an unwanted advance or gesture, and the person, like say the girl is laughing it off, he, and then maybe the guy's thinking like, oh, well, maybe she likes that. And she's like, maybe that's just a nervous, without being able to say, well, no, please don't do that. I didn't really come here for that. I just came so we could sit, talk, learn more about each other and have some great food and laugh. That's all I really wanted. Or how do we enter a conversation or a date or a hangout situation where there isn't more expected? Just because I took you out for movies and I paid for your popcorn and your snacks, and then I'm expecting something in return. So these are the kinds of conversations that are had, like, without having the assumption that there's something owed just because someone provides something. And simply the girl could just say thank you, or the guy could say thank you for the, you know, thanks for dinner, thanks for lunch, whatever the dating looks like for young people these days, but clarifying those roles and expectations and setting clear boundaries. And how do you have those conversations? When I talk to young people, I said, are you talking about these things? No. Okay, so let's work on how do we engage and put everything on the table. So there's no assumptions. And so now everyone has clear expectations.
You know, interesting. What about the parents? Do you find yourself educating the parents to say you should have these conversations with your daughter, your son?
Well, oftentimes, some parents don't like having these conversations. So with like the organization I work with, Urgent Inc., they're happy that we're having these conversations about relationships and friendships and healthy boundaries. They're like, great, I can take that off my list and y'all are talking about it and hopefully all that works out. We also let the parents, the caregivers, where they're being raised by a grandparent, they're being raised by auntie or foster, whatever the household looks like, how to have these conversations. Well, I tell them, you know, young people, they value more of what you say and what expectations that you set for them, whether they acknowledge it or not. They usually won't tell you. They're like, oh yeah, I agree. No. They'll say, oh, I don't want to hear the lectures. They can't relate to me because that was so long ago. Mm-mm. When the adult figures in young people's lives, when you set those expectations, they want to meet those expectations. And so then you can invite the conversation. And I really invite an opportunity to listen without assumption. Because a lot of times when young people are asking questions, which is a good sign, doesn't mean that they're doing anything, It just means they would like some more information, not an assumption that they're actually engaging in that behavior, because that also is a fear for a lot of the young people. So invite an opportunity to listen without a quick to assume what they're asking. And if you're not sure, just ask them like, well, what do you mean by that? Versus going into the whole pie chart. Like with my child, I'm like, okay, great. I can grab all my tools. Okay, I have 3D models. What are we talking about? No, Mom, I'm just asking about the, oh, okay. All right, so let me give you this version. And then if you want more, I have a slideshow and everything. No, Mom, I don't need an encyclopedia of relationships. I just needed to know X, Y, Z. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, let me know if you have any other questions. I'd be happy to answer.
You know, so with your series, have you looked to take it on the road beyond Florida in other states with this message that you have?
You know, I would love to. If you know any touring company, producer I can get in contact with that would finance that production, I am all for it. Because I am always happy to train actors. I mean, all the young people that I work with, they've never acted a day in their life. And then once I get them on stage, I can't get them off the stage. And I'm always quick to add somebody onto the stage, even if I end up being short one cast member. But I would love the opportunity to bring it back on tour. I miss being a director. I don't really direct theater plays anymore. And I would love to bring this back to life. And so what we did, adapted the fourth installment to the three-part play series to a short film called Keeping It On.
Okay.
Yes. So definitely would like to invite everyone. So on a larger scale, you can see a culmination of the narrative, but you don't see all the life lessons that are broken down in the three-part play series. So what's going to happen is I'm working on a curriculum for the teen dating violence to be adapted into school so that everybody gets it. So that's my next bigger project that I'm working toward.
Wow. That is, you know, your cousin Bailey, my daughter, she was in a short film called Traffic that dealt with teenage violence. And it was quite a very interesting topic. And Joe Torre, who is the former New York Yankees manager, he has a foundation against that supports women against violence for that. So this topic, unfortunately, doesn't go away. And with the recent news you hear about, especially in the entertainment industry, how these entertainment moguls are misbehaving very badly, very poorly for that. Seems to me that there's someone out there that would see this and say, you know, there's a need for that. The film that you did, I take it it's complete and you have premiered it already?
Yes, we have.
Mm-hmm. Did you submit it to any film festivals?
I have, and it didn't catch anywhere. So maybe I wasn't sending it to the right ones. So, so maybe I need to go back and re-enter and get back on that film festival circuit and see.
How many times I've heard about folks who had a piece of work and it just didn't catch on. Some years later, they resubmitted it. The next thing you know, oh, wow, have you seen this film? Have you read this book? Et cetera, et cetera. I mean, Albert Einstein, who his paper that won him the Nobel Prize was rejected years before the Nobel Prize. So, you know, sometimes some things are just ahead of their time.
I know, right? So that's why I'm thinking, you know, this is the time. Let me put everything out and see what can happen to elevate the narrative. It's important to tell these stories, especially from the young people and from their perspective, and to recognize and validate their stories and how to navigate these relationships.
Absolutely.
And friendships.
How can someone buy your beautiful t-shirt there?
Oh, thank you. I haven't released my apparel line just yet.
What?
I know. You know, supply, demand. Let me see. how people respond, and if there seems to be a good demand, like, oh, I want to get me a shirt. So I'll be walking around wearing them, sporting them, and you'll be seeing them also all on my social.
On social media, you got all these people who show you the quick way to do this, quick way to do that. There was one guy who had a way of where there's no money out of your pocket, but you set yourself up with this company and they print on demand.
Yes, yeah, Shopify. A good friend shared that with me. I'm like, oh, so they provide everything. You just provide the graphics and what you want. That's next. I'm on that. So I have six books. I've been working on the apparel line, and then kept
So
it
how
raw
can
and going back on tour.
you have a website for your books? What is that website for people to be able to go there and to purchase the books?
Yeah, so you can go to my bookstore, ShadiaCNelson.myshopify.com. So Shadia, I see a Nelson, or maybe put it this
Boom.
way,
There you go.
.myshopify.com. And happy shopping. It is perfect for the holidays. Looking for a great stocking stuffer. These are the best. I took the time to design all of the books. So I wanted to definitely, you see, there's a theme of beautiful Black women on all of my books. So it's honoring Black excellence through
I
women
mean,
and the power that we have.
as your uncle, I know I'm your uncle and everything, but I'm not being biased here. There's some beautiful book covers there.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It was a labor of love. Thank you. And I definitely changed them from 2019. I'm like, let me change it.
So, what final words would you like to leave with our listeners in our last couple of minutes that we have?
I would definitely love to invite you to definitely check out all of my work through my bookstore. And I do have a lot of my spoken word recorded on video. So if you definitely want to hear any of the pieces that I have, definitely take a moment to check that out. Do I have a minute to do one little
Yes,
bit?
absolutely.
Okay. There was one I wanted to share. I'm so sorry. I thought I had it queued and ready. I wanted to share that last. Oh, it's right here. This is from Love Letters. This is called My Heart Cried Out for You. So just a little teaser.
Little teaser. There we go.
When you learn my story and where I continue to excel, knowing my heart, soul, mind, and body is open to be passionately kissed and with unconditional love and supporting my passion and encouraging me, my heart cried for you. Embracing the opportunity to heal me and support this process, kissing my shattered heart, gathering the pieces and making a masterpiece onto canvas, illuminating possibilities seeming endless. A moment to reflect on me as I continue to grow and love myself unconditionally more and more every day. Now, an open heart welcoming your heart in a soulful embrace. My heart has cried for you.
Wow, that is beautiful.
Thank
Ladies and
you.
gentlemen, I want to thank our guest, my niece, Miss Shadia
I see
Sia Nelson, as our studio guest promoting her books. Please be sure to go to her website to order your books for your stockings, stuffers.
For holiday, your holiday
Holiday,
gift
your
shop.
holiday gift.
Thank
Johnny, thanks for coming on the program.
you so much for having me. Happy reading, and I really appreciate this opportunity. Thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy your holidays.
You too. And that wraps it up for this week on Leadership with Darrell W. Gunter on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Want to wish you to have a great day, but remember, leadership begins with you.